You know, when I am looking for iconic, powerful, pathetic expressions of cultural foolishness that surrounds us, I turn to beer commercials, and I am rarely disappointed. Miller Lite. Tastes great, less filling. And this is something worth having a riot about, right? I mean, I'm dating myself here, those of you that are beer commercial aficionados. But the great one of all time, of course, was Schlitz. I don't even know if they still make this stuff. But Schlitz, you only go round once in life, so you've got to reach for all the gusto you can. Kind of like carpe inebrium. Seize the beer. Another one that has always stuck with me, though I haven't seen it in a long time, and they changed their ads, but one that I remember was Old Milwaukee. You know, guys sitting around a campfire, mosquitoes buzzing. They didn't include that in the soundtrack, but and guys holding their beers around the campfire, and somebody says, do you remember? It doesn't get any better than this. Really? This is the best? Hello? But recently the folks at Budweiser have done it again. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. Now think about that. The right way, the best way, the surefire way to begin a healthy social interaction, a worthwhile enterprise, a new adventure, is with a beer in your hand. Right. Ludicrous, insane, actually, I'd say even diabolical. Do these people think we're all blithering idiots? Well, yes, they do. And we don't disappoint them. So there's that iconic picture of some guy or some gal at some beach party or some backyard barbecue stepping into something great, a great party, some new social interactions, waving a bottle of beer through the air. You know, there are some other iconic images for us to consider that this beer commercial sort of stimulates for me. A warrior stepping into something great, a great battle, waving a mighty sword through the air. A college graduate stepping into something great, a great career, waving a diploma in the air. An international traveler stepping into something great, business or pleasure in foreign lands, waving an American passport through the air. A wealthy entrepreneur stepping into something great, a promising business opportunity, waving a checkbook through the air. A nation stepping into something great, a great war, waving a mighty fighter jet with cutting-edge technological advantages through the air. A church moving from one denomination to another, a matter of conscience, a transition motivated by faith, waving a Bible through the air. What is the right way, the best way, the surefire way to begin a worthwhile enterprise? What is best to have in hand and wave through the air when one embarks on a new adventure? A beer? A sword? A diploma? A passport? A checkbook? A jet? What can we possess, what do we possess, that brings us real security in uncertain times, real power against invisible unknown foes, and real guidance along dangerous paths? Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to take these things to heart. Words from long ago, but words that ring as true today as they ever have. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want us to take a look at what God says to Joshua at the beginning of this book about transitioning from wandering in the wilderness to coming into the promised land, a key moment in the life of God's people in the history of Israel. And first, let's take a look at the overarching commands of God. What does he say? This is the way. Here we go. What does he say? Do what I am telling you. Seems fairly obvious, but God seems to be in the habit of reminding people of that periodically. Do what I am telling you. And there's an implication in what he's telling Joshua here. First of all, know your place. You are Moses' aide. That's the way the NIV translates it. Joshua, Moses' aide, could translate it his official or his minister. But there's a sense in which you need to remember that Moses is the quintessential servant of the Lord and leader of God's people. Joshua and all of Israel's leaders after him are always to see themselves ministering in the shadow of Moses and in a manner like him. Reference back to Moses. Remember what he did. The miracles, the amazing things that happened through Moses, the special relationship that Moses had with Yahweh God. It was to Moses that Yahweh God had revealed his name, I am Yahweh. And then he says, fulfill my promises. Those promises that I gave to Moses, you are to fulfill. Take the land. Take the land from the current occupants who are being punished rightfully by God. This is an important part of the story that tends to be downplayed. But if you look back in Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, God speaking to Abraham says this, in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, land of Canaan, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. there's a sense in which what is happening now, this displacement, is not just all about Israel and God doesn't even care or know about the rest of the people. No, they're part of the picture. But their wickedness is being punished rightfully by God through his people moving in. Deuteronomy 9, verse 4 and following. After the Lord your God has driven them out before you, do not say to yourself, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness. This is speaking to Israel. It's not because you're such good people. No, it is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. So take this land in part as God's wrathful, rightful and wrathful response to this people's wickedness. And then take this land as your people's inheritance, as part of the promises that go all the way back to the beginning of God's people, of Abraham. A land that is being given by God Almighty as he sees fit. Take the land, and this begins with the crossing of the Jordan River, a mighty symbolic and historic event, as we will see in a couple of weeks. Take the land, and this taking the land adventure ends with, well, it never quite gets done right. It never quite gets done well. And this is the story, especially of the book of Judges, that we're going to look at this fall after we finish with Joshua. How? How are we to do what God is telling us? With what kind of attitude? With what kind of behavior? God says to Joshua and his people, and he's still saying it today, be strong and courageous. He says it four times in this passage. Very important for Joshua and his people. Very important for us. Be strong and courageous. What is the basis for this strength and courage? And here's really the question for us today. What is Joshua going to take with him that matters as he and his people venture into their unknown future in the land across the Jordan River? What are they going to bring with them? A steady supply of beer? Superior human ability? Superior resources? Superior technology? No. Actually, there are going to be stories along the way of their enemies having superior technology. Chariots, iron. Their accumulated knowledge? Nah, mostly that stuff they tend to forget. Here, along with the overarching commands, are the powerful promises from God. Encouragement for the way. Here we go. You will be successful. That's what God says to Joshua, to his people. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. Verse 6, you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Why? Here is the essential word, the essential promise, because I am with you. Here's what God says, verse 5, as I was with Moses, and God was powerfully with Moses, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 7, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then there's the prayer of God's people. He's speaking to the tribes that are going to stay on the eastern side, the previous side, where they are now of the Jordan River before crossing over. And he's saying, you need to come with us, even though you're going to go back over the river to settle that land. And this is what they say to Joshua, just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. And here's the prayer, only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. It's a great picture. They're praying the very thing that God has said. It's a good prayer. So what did Joshua get to bring with him into the uncertainties of the future that really mattered? That made all the difference in the world? What did he carry? Ready for the answer? Nothing. It wasn't what he had or could acquire that was crucial for him and for the success of his people. It was who had him. Who had acquired Joshua as his willing Moses-like minister that mattered. Who was this? The living God, the Almighty Yahweh. As we step into an uncertain future, it is not what we possess that gives us real guidance, security, and power. It is who possesses us. And in God's hands, we find real strength and courage as we say, "Here we go." God also then gives some practical instructions, help along the way, things to pay attention to as you say, "Here we go." "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you," verse 7. "Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." You want to be successful? Pay attention to my word. Pay attention to my law. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." Think about my law, God is saying. Meditate on it. Know it. Why? So you will be equipped to do what it says. God's word was not given for use in seminaries and schools of philosophy, primarily. Let me say that again. God's word was not given for use in seminaries and schools of philosophy. It was given for use in homes and playgrounds and boardrooms and factories and foxholes. It is never primarily about something we know. It is always about what we do. Remember what Jesus said when he came back and appeared to the disciples, the Great Commission. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you." Is that what he said? Anybody? Come on, Bible scholars. And teaching them all that I have commanded you. Is that what he said? That's not what he said. "And teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This thing seems to continue through the ages. God says, "This is how you will be successful with me." As we will see, God's work is going to get done in any case. Through faithful people or unfaithful people, God's work is going to get done. Obedience to him will determine how well God's leaders and his people will participate with him and benefit from his goodwill, great power, and perfect plan. Obedience to God makes all the difference to the people doing the obeying. It makes no difference to whether or not God accomplishes his plan or not. His plan, his purposes are going to get done. He invites us into partnership, but his success doesn't depend on our partnership with him. Our success depends on our partnership with him. Here we go. In every time of transition, what do we need to have? What do we need to take with us? Nothing. As we step into an uncertain future, it is not what we possess that gives us real guidance, security, and power. It is who possesses us. And in God's hands, we find real strength and courage as we say, "Here we go." Maybe it's a good way of saying it on Father's Day. Friends, we're the beer. If that doesn't work for you, erase it from the tape. But it rhymes, we're the beer. And it's God who has us in his hand and says, "Friends, here we go." And that's the picture that matters. Actually, I'd rather be a sword myself. Or maybe a fighter jet with advanced technology. That works better for me. Grabbing that fighter jet, God by his hand saying, "Here we go." Frankly, I'd rather say Jay the fighter jet than Jay the beer. Getting older, Milwaukee. Thank you for that courtesy laugh. And thank you for that real one. This This notion of not what we possess, but who possesses us, is good for every transition. All of them. A warrior and a nation stepping into something great, a great battle, in God's hands as they step across the Jordan. A college graduate stepping into something great, a great career, possessed by God as she collects her hard-earned diploma. An international traveler stepping into something great, business or pleasure in foreign lands, possessed by God, who is Lord of the nations. A wealthy entrepreneur stepping into something great, a promising business opportunity in the hands of God, to whom all the earth belongs. A church moving from one denomination to another, a matter of conscience, a transition motivated by faith, possessed by God, who alone is head of his church. A man or a woman taking his or her last breath, departing this world and entering the next, in the hands of God, who has promised life eternal, and in Jesus Christ has made good on his promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. I've chosen the book of Joshua for us to look at this summer because we are in a time of unprecedented transition here at Covenant Presbyterian Church. From the PCUSA to the EPC, or to be fair, since we have not voted yet, back into the PCUSA, if that is the will of our people, but back into the PCUSA as a very, very different church, a very different collection of people with entirely different leadership. But one way or another, it's going to be a major transition. Joshua is about God's people in major transition, coming into Canaan to possess the promised land. We will continue in the fall with the book of Judges, as I mentioned, which is about how God's people settled badly into their new home. It's not a happy book. And it will give us plenty of examples of mistakes to avoid. Themes for Joshua and Judges, which I want us to remember as we begin this adventure looking through God's Word together over the next few months. In Joshua, here's my theme that I've pulled out. Pursue God and His revealed and perfecting plan and settle for the life you've always wanted. Pursue God and His revealed and perfecting plan and settle for the life you've always wanted, whether you know it or not. In God's hands, it just doesn't get any better than this. And you only go around once in life, so you need to reach for what is best. The glory of God. God Himself. And then the theme for Judges, which we'll look at later. Pursue the life you've always wanted and settle for false gods and their concealed and corrupting schemes. Here's how another Joshua, Yeshua, which in Greek sounds like this, Jesus. Did you know that? Joshua, that's Jesus' name. Same name. And that Yeshua, that Jesus, that Joshua said this 1,400 years or so after the events of Joshua and Judges. Seek first my Father's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added, given to you as well. The book of Joshua, Trent Butler says in his commentary, represents the mature reflection of Israel upon her own identity. It contains that which God had revealed to Israel as who she had been, who she was supposed to be, and who she could become. She was one people formed by one covenant under one God, destined to live in and control one land. She was also a people for whom much remained to be done, because she had, even in her best days, refuse to follow God completely and carry out his instructions, preferring to argue and feud among her own individual components and to follow the paths of the gods of the land along with the God of the Exodus and conquest. Boy, doesn't that sound contemporary? Not all that interested in following what God says, like God says we're supposed to do, much more interested in arguing among themselves and in following the gods of the land in which they found themselves, the culture in which they were immersed, instead of following the ways of the God of the Exodus and the conquest and the resurrection. Thus, Israel had to look forward to a new Joshua who would bring the people to follow God all his days and to confess once and for all that his God fulfilled all his promises to his people. It's the same God today. God has promised and God is with us. Here we go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement that you give us through your word. I'm grateful that I have the privilege of reading and thinking through your word to us and sharing. Lord, I pray that you would bless us as we each think through these things for ourselves. Lord, all of us know what it is to be in difficult life circumstances. All of us know what it is to look at tomorrow and say, I have no idea what to expect. What's going to happen? I don't know. Lord, all of us have a sense at one time or another, maybe today, that what faces us is frightening. The uncertainties before us leave us feeling weak. Lord, in the midst of all of those circumstances, may we remember that it isn't what we have or what we can get that matters. But it is the truth, the fact that by faith we have opened our hearts to you, that you have claimed us as your own, that you have saved us as your own in Jesus Christ, that you have said, I am your God, and I will be with you, and I will never leave you or forsake you. And your promises are good when we keep our promises. And your promises are good when we don't. Lord, may we know this truth as we step into the future together. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.